It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, we're building up to Game Week 9. And off the international fixtures and ahead of the next round in Europe, it's looking like an especially delicate week for picking your team. Will De Bruyne be fit? Should we take a four-point hit? Will Spurs still be somewhat disappointing? It's all coming up in today's show. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Here today to help you with some tough decisions ahead of this weekend's games. I'm delighted to say we've got, from the FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Hiya, James.
Hi, Sam. Also in, football journalist Daniel Story.
Good afternoon.
And Jack Lang.
Hi, James.
Would this be the same Jack Lang that's currently top of our pundits league?
I don't like to mention it, but yeah, of course.
Whoa. You're doing brilliantly. You're in the top 13,000 worldwide.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Even more impressively, you're 5 points ahead of Sam Bonfield.
I'm going to have to work harder this week.
Right. What's your secret, Jack, in fantasy preparation terms?
Thank you for specifying that. Generally, it's patience. I don't tend to get sucked into rash or indeed early transfers.
Right.
But I should say that I'm not very consistent, so I've had a few good seasons, but also plenty of bad ones.
Okay, but when you say patience, do you mean that you also will stick with an underperforming player even when
yes, and sometimes too long? So when things are going badly, I'm a little bit stubborn.
Is there anyone you're sticking with at the moment? Are you sort of still on the Pookie?
I'm still on the Pookie wagon for now. Yeah, I'm sticking with him. I'm still sticking with Mo Salah. Raheem Sterling.
Right.
So, yeah, once I've got someone that I like, I tend to stay with them to
the death. Plenty of potential in those players coming good again, I would suggest. But you know what? Round 9 approaches, and we do need a bit of a catch-up because there's been a lot of action away from the Premier League, all those internationals, with some pretty key injuries as well. De Gea, who went off for Spain in their clash with Sweden. And is this right? Is he definitely out this weekend for Man United against Liverpool?
Yeah, Ole Solskjaer says that De Gea, Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard are three that he can confirm won't play any part. And also that he thinks Anthony Martial and Aaron Wan-Bissaka can probably only play 30 minutes, which isn't particularly helpful for managers looking for more than 1 point.
The beginning of this game week, over 1 million people had De Gea as their first choice keeper. What should they do now?
I always personally have always felt it feels a little bit of a waste if you've got a keeper on the bench that will play to change a goalkeeper because it doesn't seem a serious injury. And one of the themes of this season has been very few clean sheets anyway. There's no team in the Premier League that's got more than 3 clean sheets. So it seems a bit of a waste to change keeper for keeper and for not a huge gain.
Conversely, at Liverpool, you've got Alisson set to come back this week in that fixture at Old Trafford. So that means that anyone like me who piled in on Adrian has a bit of work to do, Sam.
Yeah, I think if you've got Adrian, you're probably likely to have another keeper, though. So you potentially could play your bench keeper this week.
Yeah,
but it is a transfer waiting to happen, definitely.
I've got buttons, so...
Yes, you do need to make a transfer this week.
I do need to make a transfer. So for people like me who are looking for another keeper, whether it's because they had De Gea or Adrian or whatever, who is the first choice keeper out there? Fabianski's out, of course, Lloris is out. Who would your pick be, goalkeeper-wise?
So Patricio is the highest scoring keeper in the game at the moment with 38 points so far, 3 clean sheets and a penalty save in there. But there's also some quite nice cheap 4.5 options at the top. So the likes of Ryan at Brighton and also Henderson for Sheffield United, both up there with 35 and 33 points. So they could be good options too.
Very nice indeed. Meanwhile, at the other end of the team, I do notice that Tammy Abraham has been the most transferred in forward since the last round of games. He's now the most owned forward, in fact, Jack. Is he now the starting point for anybody's front line? You go Abraham and two more, is that right?
I think at the price point, I think he's 7.7 as we're recording this, and just for the fixtures Chelsea have, I think maybe not a whole season set and forget option, but certainly in the medium term, he would definitely take you up to Christmas and probably that second wild card.
Right, so if that's a guarantee, who's the next guy that you should have? Who would be the kind of ideal second choice forward?
I will be bringing in Jamie Vardy this week and will probably make him captain because I have a tendency to double down on the transfers I bring in if they're attacking players. I just look at Leicester's fixtures and they are very gentle. And he just seems to be a man in form. He obviously doesn't have international commitments, so he's had 2 weeks of rest, which over 30 will help. And he just seems as if he's ready to really hit a purple patch.
Will potential domestic tensions be in any way affecting his performances?
No, I don't think so.
OK, all right then. If you'd like to join us, by the way, and vie with the likes of Jack and Sam at the top of our fancy podcast league, then the code you need is 6QP8QK. All right, let's look at the Game Week 9 fixtures. Fixtures, which ones have your managerial antennae a-buzzing? Daniel.
Manchester United-Liverpool is the fixture of the week, and it's probably the FBL fixture of the week.
Although is it?
Well, interestingly, I mean, Manchester United would normally have been guaranteed for, you know, people having a huge number of players. But actually, there's only five Manchester United players with more than 10% ownership. And three of those are likely to be missing at the weekend. So there's only Harry Maguire and Daniel James who are kind of regular picks who will play.
Right.
I think the interesting one with Liverpool is Salah's been kind of moved out of plenty of teams. It feels like the general trend of this season is that there's not a huge differential between the medium to average price players and the very elite top end.
Right.
Last season there was a huge difference. It doesn't feel that anymore. So Mane over Salah, perhaps.
As we mentioned still last time, Mane now outscoring Salah in absolute fantasy terms. But any of the Liverpool assets, are they worth piling on with even a captain's armband? Yeah. Given the way Liverpool have underperformed in this fixture of late.
Yeah, they've only scored three goals at Old Trafford in four games under Jurgen Klopp. So, yeah, they don't go big. I think the interesting one with Liverpool, and it's probably not captaincy, but it's whether you can get both of those fullbacks in. Because, as I said before, there's a very few number of clean sheets this season. So, actually, that kind of gives a differential to those attacking fullbacks that you can expect to create chances, of which, obviously, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold are two.
And there's a fair chance that Liverpool might get a clean sheet as well.
Indeed.
This weekend, given the way United have been performing. Sam, you've got a stat about Mo Salah and Man United.
Yeah, so Salah it's the only team that he has never scored any FPL attacking points from. So never scored a goal, never got an assist against Manchester United.
Just remarkable. Just remarkable. What fixture are you looking to mine some FPL gold from?
Well, Chelsea-Newcastle for me this week. I now am on the triple Chelsea bandwagon, so I'm hoping that they're going to do well in this game. Chelsea players have gone from being very lowly owned at the beginning of the season to suddenly incredibly highly owned as Frank Lampard's team have kind of found their feet in the Premier League under him. So Tammy Abraham is now owned by more players than anybody else bar Van Dijk. So he has kind of gone through the roof in terms of his transfer activity. And that's not surprising given that they play Newcastle this week. Newcastle have already conceded 11 goals away from home so far this season.
Right, although, of course, when they went to Spurs recently...
Thanks for bringing that up, James. Yeah, we'll just park that one.
It's one of three clean sheets that they've... which is three times as many as Chelsea have had.
It is, absolutely. But I don't see them getting much out of this Chelsea team, realistically. They have allowed 23 shots on target so far.
Okay.
And in that Chelsea team, unlike the Spurs team, who don't seem to get many attacking opportunities at the moment, Chelsea are the complete opposite of that, with the likes of Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount.
Right.
They are going to get some good attacking returns.
What about Callum Hudson-Odoi, who was brilliant for England's under-21s in the international break and has already got two assists in his brief playing time for Chelsea since his return? 5.9 million. Is that someone you're looking at as part of your triple Chelsea whammy?
Yeah, absolutely. Callum Hudson-Odoi was on my radar from pre-season. And I said at that point, if he becomes fit, or when he becomes fit rather, he's going to be my transfer in. He's looked brilliant since he's come back. We've had a goal in the League Cup as well to add to that, and an assist in the Champions League. He's been really consistent. We just yet haven't seen the consistency of starts from him. But then, given his Achilles injury back in April, it's not surprising that we're seeing him being eased in. But he got his first start in the Premier League last week, and I expect to see that continuing. He's one of my transfers in this week.
All right, so who are your three Chelsea players?
So I own Abraham, along with half the game, Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's my differential from Chelsea, and then Tomori at the back.
Tomori at the back. How many Chelsea players have you got, Jack Lang?
I've only got Mason Mount, whom I signed before it was cool. I'd just like to make that very clear. And I, obviously, Abraham is bugging me because now that well, now that I am top of the table, it's almost a defensive position, and his ownership going through the roof is starting to make my trigger finger itch just a little bit.
I see.
Hudson-Odoi, I think, is a really interesting shout. My only concern would be that Chelsea do have quite a lot of wingers, if and when, you know, Pedro, Willian, Pulisic are all fit, and Mount has played there as well. If he was guaranteed to start, I think I'd be following Sam in on that, because he's looked really exciting the last few weeks.
Is there any sense in participating and having any ownership among the Newcastle defenders, given that they actually do have remarkably good defensive numbers at pretty low prices?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jamal Lassell is 4.4 million. It's the one. The thing with Newcastle is that under Steve Bruce, the fullbacks don't really push on. And the general rule in FPL has been, if you can do so, you might as well have an attacking fullback for the bonus attacking points. So, yeah, their defenders don't actually score that many goals. Fabian right. Scher is the only one who last season got a few. But, yeah, I'd stay away from them, I think.
Fair enough. All right, Jack, what other games do you think will play a big role in producing the points this weekend?
I think Bournemouth against Norwich, probably not one for the defensive points.
Right.
I don't think anyone looks at those teams and thinks, OK, I'll have a centre-back or a full-back from them. But certainly, in terms of forwards and midfielders, there's a lot of coverage in this game.
Right,
people.
You're hoping that Pukki's going to come back. He had a couple for Finland in their victory yeah. over Armenia.
I've kept him for now. I was a little bit late on that one, so I missed most of the good juice to squeeze.
How
out
are you
the
top of the league?
Complete luck, James.
No, but who's been your? Have you had a star performer?
Well, my success has been cramming both Liverpool fullbacks. I had De Bruyne, Sterling, Salah. Basically, I've loaded everywhere but up front, which has meant that my forwards have included so far Jurgen Locadia, Jordan Ayew, a non-scoring Mason Greenwood.
Right.
I brought Chris Wood in last week. He, of course, didn't score.
Right.
So I'm basically playing a strikerless formation.
Okay,
very
nice.
Brave.
Very, very modern. All right, so Pukki's there. You've got Cantwell, Buendia, all that. And of course, Bournemouth looking good of late with the likes of Wilson and King and all sorts of options from midfield as well.
Yeah, Bournemouth are a funny one because they've been playing a number of systems over the last few years, but he seems to have settled on a midfield four. But Josh King has been playing on the left of that recently. Eddie Howe's kind of cramming as many strikers as he can into the side. Solanke's been playing, Wilson's been playing. To me, that sometimes reduces the appeal. So I think Josh King's a good option if he's playing up front. I'm not so sure about if he's playing as a left winger. Right. Fraser's been in and out of the side. I think if I had to pick a Bournemouth player, I would stretch to Wilson just because he's so involved in everything.
Bournemouth, as we mentioned quite often, do have a decent set of fixtures heading their way. Other games that might have big impact for managers worldwide, Manchester City always a factor there. They're at Palace, who, of course, beat Manchester City last December 3-2 in a bit of a shock. And City coming off a not particularly excellent run of results. And the issues persist there. Does that put you off? How many City players have you got in, Dan?
I have three, and I might well take two of them out this week.
No.
I think the difficulty I have is that I had Mahrez, which was a good pick because I think he's probably been one of City's best attacking players this season. But I've got Bernardo Silva, whose form has fallen off. And the reality is that even with Sané injured, the kind of consistency of selection from last season has not quite been there from Guardiola because City haven't quite been there. I think I'll take Aguero out this week for Vardy because for the difference in price, I just think that Vardy provides more value now.
Okay, and what about De Bruyne? Is he going to be fit?
He's listed, I think, as a 75% chance. If there's any chance of him being fit, he will play because City have both of the league games they've lost have been when he hasn't started. So there's a clear incentive for Guardiola's getting back in the team.
All right. Do you have him in your side?
I do not.
I see.
But I could do. He could come in this week, yes.
Okay, what, even though he's on a flag?
That's why I'm waiting till as late as possible to do my changes this week.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on the De Bruyne situation, Friday's press conference and the like. Next up, though, have a slightly more long-term view with The Long View. Right, manager, there's loads of form players out there right now, but which are the sides that have the most enticing fixtures, the ones that you want to pile in on, like Sam does with Chelsea Sam, Chelsea, you've got the three players in. Who else are you looking at and thinking, "Phew, I need a bit of their action"?
I actually quite fancy Wolves at the moment. Mm. They didn't start the season very well.
Nope.
Had that kind of Europa League hangover. But actually, they seem to have found their feet now.
Three straight wins, three straight clean sheets.
Absolutely. And they've only
That's in all competitions, I should stress.
And they've only lost one of their last 12 home matches in the Premier League.
Ooh.
So they're actually in quite good form at Molineux.
Right. And they've got Southampton visiting this weekend, which is an attractive fixture.
Yeah, absolutely. And there should be goals in that game.
Right. After that, Newcastle and Arsenal away, Aston Villa at home, Bournemouth away, and then Sheffield United at home. Yeah, those are nice fixtures, aren't they?
They are, particularly for the Wolves attacking players, because none of those teams have been very consistent at the back so far this season. So I would expect there to be goals to be had.
Three Wolves players we should be interested in?
Well, I think it would be wrong of me not to mention Jimenez as the fantasy gold of last season. He's looking good again. A couple of assists in game week 8 against Manchester City. 2 goals and 2 assists so far. But creating some good chances. Only second behind Delafeu, I think, overall for the forwards. In terms of other options, Patricio, I've already mentioned, he's the highest scoring keeper in the league so far, so he's obviously worth a shout, particularly if you've got an Adrian or a De Gea or a Lloris related problem to solve. And then maybe Traore. He has had a lot of transfers in so far this week, following on from his 2 goals against Manchester City. I think he is one of the most transferred in players this week in terms of midfielders. Had 5 shots so far from game week 4 onwards, which is the 4th highest at Wolves. So for his price, his 8 chances created looks like a good bet.
Do you think he's going to continue in that central role?
My only concern with Traore is that he's better when used as a forward and on the counter-attack against the best teams, but sometimes against the best teams you're kind of loath to pick the player from the other club, and he's one of those players that you look at on a Sunday evening and realise he's got you 8 points but they're on the bench and you curse yourself.
Which team are you currently looking at to invest in heavily?
Leicester, for me. Their fixture list is by far the best in the Premier League. 7 of their next 8 games, which takes us through until almost Christmas, is Burnley, Southampton, Palace, Brighton, Everton, Watford, Aston Villa. That includes most of the bottom half. The exception to that is Arsenal at home, who are no guarantee. So I think Leicester are a great bet. They've got a lot of goodwill around them at the moment, and they're 4th in the league. But actually, they've lost twice to the two better teams they've faced in Liverpool and Manchester United. So against non-Big Six, I expect them to really find some form.
Right, OK. Now, Vardy, you've already mentioned, and he's got actually surprisingly low ownership. Only 10.6% of squads feature Jamie Vardy, while James Maddison is in 12.3%. I mean, more teams. And Vardy's been a way more influential player for all the headlines that Maddison has garnered.
Yeah, I think if you were going to ask me to pick 4 players. Definitely Vardy,
right.
Definitely Maddison. Ricardo Pereira is a brilliant option on the right, although right. He is a lot more expensive than he was last year. And another one is a player I'll talk about later, is Kagalasoyunku.
All right, nice. Okay. Leicester for Dan. What about you, Jack?
Well, I'll go a little bit further down the table. I think Burnley are worth monitoring.
Right. How many Burnley players have you got or are getting in?
I've currently got 2.
Chris Wood.
Nick Pope since the start
right.
of the season, and he's been fairly reliable. He's done well. And yeah, I've got Chris Wood. He may not be in there for a long time, but they do have fixtures. They've got Leicester this weekend. It's not easy.
Chelsea after that.
Chelsea after that, but that's at home. They normally do well, at least in attacking areas. And then Sheffield United, West Ham, Watford, Crystal Palace. I mean, they're not golden by any means, but I would expect some returns from Wood, Barnes, or maybe another player that I really like, Dwight McNeil.
Brilliant. OK. I have to say, I completely disagree with everything you just said, but then you're top of the league, so fair.
Well, yeah, what I say goes, James.
Very much does. I mean, I've been expecting goal returns from Ashley Barnes for a fair while now, but... Yeah. All right, up next, let's hear who Jack and the others reckon is an essential differential. Essential differential, looking for players who not many other managers have got, under 10% ownership, but who we think are going to do well this week and the next few. Sam, who have you got?
So I've got Harry Wilson. Potentially the wrong Wilson, I suppose, at Bournemouth, but this one is only owned by 3.6% of the game.
Right.
And it's 6.1 million, a lot cheaper than his Wilson counterpart
right.
In Callum. They've got Norwich this weekend, which you know, Norwich defensively are looking very shaky, in the kindest possible way to say that.
Just ship five against Villa.
Absolutely. They are desperately at bare bones. And so I can see there being goals for Bournemouth in that game. Harry's got three goals so far already this season. His influence and his threat stats look really, really promising. So I'm expecting some good things from him.
Right. Is that something that's growing week by week?
His goals have been kind of spread out across the season, but his threat and his influence stats are looking much, much more promising over recent game weeks.
Right. OK, 6.1 million for Harry Wilson. Dan, who's your eye on?
I'm picking the last player I mentioned, Kaglas Iunkou. In that Leicester run of eight games, they play five of the bottom seven scorers in the Premier League. So although there haven't been many clean sheets around this season, Leicester are one of those teams who now might potentially go on a little run of clean sheets. And he is not just a ball winner at the back, but you can see his pretty obvious set piece potential whenever you watch him play. You know, he's a big lad. And with Maddison as, you know, corner taker and Pereira as a really good cross of the ball, potentially a set piece threat as well.
Okay, you'd have him over Ben Chilwell, would you?
Yeah, he's only 7.1%. I think Pereira is remarkably low owned. He is just over the 10% differential, okay. 10.6. But for under the under 10%, I think Siunku is better at 4.7 million.
Right, which is a lot cheaper than the other options.
Exactly.
For Leicester. Jack?
Well, I was going to speak about Jimenez, but I think Sam has pretty well explained what he offers so far. So I'm going to go a little bit further off-piste and pick an enabler. Ooh. So it's Aaron Connolly of Brighton. So
yeah.
Only 4.5.
That's such an exciting pick.
The cheapest starting price for a forward. And I think what he offers is...
Is he a starting forward?
I think he could be, because when you pick a player at that price, similarly to when you pick a 4.0 defender at the start of the game, you're hoping really that they play the first game, make an impact and establish themselves. So I've had Mason Greenwood since the start of the season. It looked like he would, you know, be given a chance. You're desperately hoping he comes off the bench, scores twice and then gets a starting spot. Hasn't happened for him at all. Whereas Connolly made the most of his first start against Tottenham, scoring twice. Mm. And I think he, together with Neil Mopay, gives a kind of pace and energy to Brighton's front line, which I think works really well with the kind of slower creative players they have in behind. So, and look, if he doesn't start every week, no big deal. But if he's picking up 1 point, 4 points, 5 points, that's a lot better than Mason Greenwood's 0-0-1.
Graham Potter seems to be one of those managers as well who's going to have a complete meritocracy at Brighton. There isn't any hierarchy of forwards there. If he plays well and looks good in training, he'll start. There's no sense of him having to wait his turn, I don't think.
Brilliant. And he's still 4.5, is he?
He is, yeah.
Interesting. By the way, Jimenez, who you just touched on, still under 10% ownership, 7.1 million the price for him. Very interesting. Anyone else tempted by Aaron Connolly?
Yeah, Jack's... After his Burnley talk, he saved it all up for the Aaron Connolly discussion.
Maybe the Burnley stuff is just smoke and mirrors. It's tough at the top. It's about deception as well as skill.
Absolutely. All right, well, after this, we're going to hear about everybody's last-minute plans ahead of the Game Week 9 deadline. Game week 9, you need to get your teams in by 11:30 UK time Saturday morning, an hour before Everton and West Ham kick off. And there's plenty of work to do. Sam, you are going to take, you're considering your first points hit of the season.
Yeah, I've done it.
Oh, you have?
Yes. So
what did you do?
I actually did them before game week 8 ended,
what?
Which is highly unusual for me. I'm normally a wait and chill out and relax about it. But price rises were happening and I couldn't have afforded the moves I wanted. So I've made them already on the basis that I still have my wild card.
So Hudson-Odoi and Vardy. And who's the other one? Because it's three, isn't it?
It is. So I also brought in Saïndjou for Leicester at the back on the basis that I see some clean sheets for them. So yeah, three transfers for me this week.
Brilliant. Daniel, you're going big, aren't you?
I haven't made them yet, but depending on what happens with Kevin De Bruyne, I will either take Bernardo Silva and Sergio Aguero out for Jamie Vardy and Kevin De Bruyne or... possibly Jamie Vardy and Mohamed Salah. I've got ground to make up and I've got some money in the bank. So I kind of see while everyone's bringing Salah out the team, maybe this is a good time to bring him in.
Are you considering an 8-point hit then?
That would only be two transfers.
Right.
I could, if I wanted to, make an 8-point hit, but I did all right last season and it's not something I ever did last season. So maybe not.
All right. I used to do them all the time. They're so much fun. Seriously. You have to take
your
pleasure
where
you
can. Friends.
Jack, what are you up to?
I am also waiting and seeing about some injury news. I've got 5 flags currently, which is concerning me a little bit. It looks like, as we've been speaking, Tom Heaton has been past fit. That's good news for me. But yeah, I'm waiting on De Bruyne, Cantwell as well. So I think there's a decent chance I'll make no transfer, although Abraham will be looming large in my thoughts over the weekend, I think.
Right. You're happy with your team as it is if the flags all come down. At the moment, you've got Pukki and Wood up front with Greenwood the other option there. A midfield of Salah, Cantwell, Sterling and Mount with De Bruyne sat on the bench. This is from your last team sheet. And then a back four of Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. That's impressive. Lundstrom and Otamendi with Pope between the posts. That's where the points have come, at the back.
Yeah, I'm very back-loaded.
Nice. All right, great. Well, you're sitting tight, rolling those free transfers, you lucky, lucky thing. And lucky you, listener, if you're on a wild card, because, my word, this would be a great time to be playing it.
What are you doing, James?
I imagine there'll be lots of hits in the Richardson household. No, because I've got so much work to do.
More
so
hits than Motown.
Yeah. No, definitely. I've got to bring in a Vardy. I've got to clear out a keeper. You don't want to hear about my problems. Let's talk instead about captain's armbands. Now, Sam, it's all about Kane with you, always, isn't it? You're going to captain Kane this weekend, aren't you?
I am, James, yeah.
Where have you been the last couple of weeks?
In my Harry Kane shrine that I built at my house. No, I think... if I'm going to the games, I like to captain somebody I'm going to go and watch. This week, I'll be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
For any fancy managers out there who are not going to see Spurs, would you still recommend they captain Harris?
No, I'd captain Tammy Abraham.
Right. I actually don't mind the Kane shout because he looked brilliant. I know it was only Bulgaria, but in the same respect, you could argue that Watford are
Watford.
Yeah, they're kind of the Bulgaria of the Premier League at the moment.
He's got a great record against Watford. Yeah. He's got 3 goals and an assist in his last 4 against the Hornets.
And generally, if Spurs need someone to drag them on, it is Harry Kane. The last time, the last time they performed against Crystal Palace at home, he was dragging them through that. So I actually don't mind the shout because it will be a differential shout. He'll be a low captaincy rate.
Right.
Not being funny, but if you've got Harry Kane, then you're not making him captain against the team bottom of the table.
Right. That's conceded.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's conceded more goals than anybody in the 4 matches since Sanchez Flores has come back. So it's not like it's got any better under him.
And I'm not saying you should be bringing in Kane, but if you're not.
If you have him,
if
you spend the money
in a game like that, then spend your money elsewhere.
Okay. This is the game for captaining him, surely.
Okay.
Surely.
Convincing. But if for those of us unfortunate enough not to have Kane in our squad, what are we going to be doing? Daniel?
I'm going to go for Jamie Vardy. Right. I'm almost certain to bring him in, and I kind of tend to give, if I back a player, to bring him in as a transfer, especially a striker, I normally give him the captaincy. Yeah. Obviously, Liverpool and Manchester City players have been the norm this season, but I think Leicester Burnley, I think he is more as likely to score as many points as any Liverpool player.
And Liverpool, as we mentioned, away at Old Trafford, they don't have a high scoring record there, particularly Mo Salah, Man City, they've not been doing well there away at Crystal Palace. You can easily see yourself moving towards one of the differential picks for a captaincy this time around. Jack, who are you going with?
None of my usual options are that compelling this week, so I usually go for Salah or Sterling. But
right.
I think they both might struggle to have a really big score. For the first time, I think I'm going to gamble and go for Mason Mount.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be so interesting to see where you are in the league next time.
Yeah, but this whole podcast has been with a subtext of like, how are you doing this? And I completely accept that because it's a mystery.
It is a mystery, but then that's the magic of Fantasy Premier League. By the way, listener, if you would like to get in touch with us, you can do with the hashtag FPLpod on Twitter. And there's more essential information as you prepare your teams for Game Week 9 on both the FPL show, which is on the Premier League's website, and FPL FYI, which is on the Premier League's YouTube channel. There's links to all of that on the Premier League website. All that remains to be said is good luck to you, listener, and also thanks and good luck to Sam, Dan and Jack. And we'll see you here next time on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.